Praise the Lord. In the midst of studying for a message this morning, I got to thinking with a lot of things that are going on and a lot of the people that I have been talking to in the last week in my program as a chaplain for Infinity, I meet a lot of people. I see a lot of people. And a lot of people pass. Friday we had 4 pass on us within 2 hours. A couple we knew that we're going to, and a couple were unexpected. You know, even though they're not unexpected, but they're still unexpected because they didn't have that transitioning time. They had an event, was what we call it, and they passed very surprisingly. So, but I want to tell you, that brings me back to the understanding life is unpredictable. This mortal body that you live in is unpredictable. And only God knows your timing. And this is what I tell all my people, only God knows. Only God knows. God can heal in many, many different ways. From a miracle healing to a taking you home healing. You know, to a gradual healing. But obviously, he's in control. And that's the way I look at it. So, in the midst of all that and all the things that are going on in our world today, all the confusion, you know, I got to thinking, we're in a society. I travel a lot in my job, and I get to listen to a lot of radio, you know, and I have Cyrus, so I get to listen to a lot of talk shows. And I don't know if you guys know O'Reilly Factor. Anybody ever heard of him? Okay. That guy. You know, I didn't have a whole lot of thought for him until I heard him talk on what's happening in our schools, in our society, in our world today, and how we're taking prayer out of everything. And he was so mad about it. He said, I'm not telling you to talk about religion, but I am telling you, as a history fact, you cannot deny what the Bible says. It's history. And if we're teaching in schools, we have to teach history. And when you alienate Jesus, other than this, as a, you know, a foul word, then you're not teaching Jesus. And when you stop teaching Jesus, then you're going to see things happen that you are seeing take place in our world today. Of course, he was talking to someone that didn't agree with it. Well, I'm a Christian, but I believe that you got to be passive on some of these things. Oh, my goodness. I said, O'Reilly, get him. And he sure did. Yeah, that's what stand means. It doesn't mean give up. It doesn't mean just let it go. It means you have to stand because this is the hour. People, this is the hour. We are on our last stage, our last walk here on this earth before our good Lord's going to come and take us home. So in the midst of all that, I got to thinking about what we're doing in prayer and fasting. And I know I've been talking to you on the gospel of Jesus, but I wanted to break that up a little bit, if you don't mind. I want to talk to you on prayer, but just not any prayer. Not just any prayer, because everybody can pray, you know? And when you really come down to it, in my job, when they're dying or death, they want you to pray for them, you know? And there are prayers, then there are prayers. There are rituals, and then there are radicals. Which one do you want to be? Radical or desperate prayer? Turn with me to Genesis. Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 through 31. And we haven't said this for a little while, so lift, hope, put your finger in there. Stand with me. Hold your Bible up. This is the living word of God. That I trust and obey. What it says is true. From Genesis to Revelations. Hallelujah. Today my heart is receptive. My spirit is alive. As I learn to submit my will to His. I am forever changed. I am a child of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Yes, I hope we are. My goodness, there's so many people that aren't, and yet they claim. It's one thing to claim it, one thing to live it. Woo-wee. Listen to me. Starting with verse 24, it says, then Jacob was left alone. And a man, I hope it's coming up on, and it is, excuse me. Thank you, my favorite audiovisual man back there, Brian. He just follows right along. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just as he has crossed over to Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Lord, allow your anointing to flow today. I give you freedom to do what you desire, Lord. I'm just the vessel. I pray this in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. There was once a man who was very faithful in his prayer life. Every morning when he got up, he would kneel by his bed and he would pray, God bless me. God bless my family. God bless this day. And before every meal, he would say a prayer, God bless this food. And every night when he went to bed, he would pray, God bless me. God bless my family. God bless this night. And every time he prayed a prayer, he would take a walnut and place it in a glass jar. Now, over the years, his house became full of glass jars that were full of walnuts. There were shelves and bookcases and windowsills and everywhere walnuts. Thousands of them. And the man felt very pleased with himself. Just look at all these jars. Just look at all these walnuts. Just look at all these prayers that I have prayed, he would say. Then, one night, Jesus appeared to him in a dream. And Jesus took each of the glass jars, he opened them, and one by one, he took out the walnuts, broke them open, and inside each one, it was empty, nothing but dryness and dust. And Jesus said to him, you know, your prayers are like that. Although there have been thousands of them, they are empty. They are dry. They are meaningless. Dirk Moore's book, The Radical Prayer, opens with these words. All too often, we simply pray weak prayers, such as, dear God, help me to have a nice day, and help me not to get so angry today. But Jesus challenges each one of his followers to pray radical prayers. They can be short, but they're certainly not weak. If you want to maintain the status quo, don't even begin to pray. If you want to live the average life, leave radical prayers alone. But if you have a passion to make a difference in this world, if you have a longing to see Jesus return in glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then I invite you today to learn more about radical prayer. Once you begin to pray radical prayers in faith, the way will open for great and wonderful things to happen in your life and in lives around you. Hallelujah. Your life will truly be transformed, and you will never, never, never be the same again. Challenging words, right? True. You know, many of the prayers of the church and of God's people are weak and empty, passionless, visionless. These are the prayers that are happening in churches today. And if we really are going to see God move, if we are really going to see God at work, if we are really going to see situations turned around and lives dramatically changed by the mighty hand of God, then we really must step out of the weak prayer life and start praying some pretty radical prayers. And I'll tell you something, today is the day we need those. Because Satan doesn't want you to pray radical prayers. He likes you to say, oh, God, bless me. Bless my day. Let me have a good day. And Lord, don't let me be angry. See, that's the prayer Satan wants you to have, because then he still has control in you. But when you think radical prayers, oh, God, get a hold of these people. Get a hold of these churches in the name of Jesus. Don't let them do what they're doing anymore. Let them look to you for the answer, oh, God. That's going to make a difference. Because that way, God hears you. You want God to hear you? Got to start praying radical prayers. If you think small, you'll get small. If you pray small, you'll receive small. But if you pray big, if you pray radical prayers, then God will answer big. Woo! He will give you radical answers. I truly believe that. And I truly believe that's exactly why the church is in such a mess that they're in today, because they have forgot what God did in the past. They forgot that it took radical prayers to move the hand of God. And there are please me people, you know, or appease me people, or bless me people. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't love to bless you. I'm not saying that God doesn't take care of your needs, your wants, your desires. You know, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that to get those, you better become more radical in your prayer life. Hallelujah. The word radical comes from the Latin word ratus, ratix, which means root. That means that radical or desperate prayer goes straight to the root of the issues. Do you understand what I'm saying? Doesn't play games. Doesn't mope around and get you through. doesn't sugarcoat it, but it gets you right to the root of the issues. And I'll tell you something, there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians out there that need to get to the root of the issue. They try to bypass the root. They try to shortcut the root. They try to get their answers the easy way. And today you're going to find out it's not so easy to get God's attention and to answer your prayers. Radical prayer enables God to change the world through you. Now, did you get that? Radical prayers enables God to change the world through you. Look to someone and say, through me? Yeah, yeah, through you. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Not someone else. You know? Okay. Here's something for you. Karl Barth, a Swiss theologian, said, to clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder in this world. I like that word uprising because it reminds me of what Jesus says in Matthew 11:12. And the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And I love the latter part of that. And the violent take it by force. The world doesn't want you that way. They want you, oh, bless me. They want you, you know, not to. I mean, we have been asleep too long. If the churches of today and the Christians of today would all stand together, we wouldn't have some of the garbage that has been okayed by the radical people. Amen? It's getting out of hand. We're allowing things to take place in this world, and not this world, to bring it on home. We're allowing things to happen in America that never should have happened in America, a God-fearing country, a God-ordained country, a God-anointed country. Well, I'm afraid that anointing is so far gone. I don't know. It's going to take it's going to take a lot of radical prayers to get that back. Okay? So you understand what I'm talking. And I haven't even really started my full message this morning. I'm just trying to get you to understand we better get serious before God. God was serious with us. God put America as a God-fearing country here because of our radical prayers to Him. I don't care what anybody says about our pilgrims. They came because they were persecuted in England. They came to America for the freedom of religion. And I hear some radical people out there that are not radical Christians that will try to say, well, it had nothing to do with God. They were just getting persecuted over there, so they wanted to come over here so they can do their own thing. Oh, my goodness, are they full of it. They came here because they wanted to serve a living God and not some false fake God over there. That's what was being thrown into them. That's what they were being persecuted for. That's what they were dying for over there. And they felt that if they came to America, they could change things in the sight of God. And God, I believe, instructed them and brought them here for a purpose, to make an America the change. And it took place, and it happened. And America was a God-fearing country. Through the years, I'm sorry to say, radical prayers died. Radical Christians died. And we become mediocre Christians. And I'm afraid America is either going to be doomed for persecution, or you say, well, Pastor, we're just a really small church. We're just a handful of people. Let me tell you something here. On the day of Pentecost, there was only 120 up there. Started with only one, Jesus. Then it became 12. 12 became 120, but it had to start somewhere. Okay? And that 120 in one day grew to 5,120 in one day because it was radical people on fire for God. It's time to get on fire for God. Oh, my goodness. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Now, I ask you this question. Have you ever thought of your prayer life in that way? As a violent thing, as a forceful thing that holds heaven in ransom, that holds God to his promises. That's radical prayer. This morning I want to share three things about radical or desperate prayer that comes from the story of Jacob. I want to give you some background on Jacob. Jacob was a character. Jacob he was everything. Let me give you some things. First of all, we see that Jacob was a twin. Hey, girls. Do you ever think that Alicia was trying to get out before you, Alexis? Well, here's a twin that was. Says that he wanted to be born first. So much so that he grabs his brother's heel as he was born, as to try to beat him out. And that is why they named him Jacob, which means surplanter, underminer, the heel, the conniver. I feel sorry for people that are named Jacob today. That's the beginning of his life. He goes on. He tricked his brother out of his birthright with a savory meal. I kind of blame his brother for that. Brother had more thought for food than he did for blessing and birthright. Then he steals his brother's blessing from the father with the help of his mother. Because of that, Esau wanted to kill Jacob. But Jacob's mother found out about it, and he arranged for Jacob to live with relatives far away. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole story of that. That was another issue. Jacob met his match in that relatives. Now, many, many years after this all took place, God called upon Jacob and had told Jacob, "Jacob, it's time to go home. It's time to you to go back to your brother." But Jacob was terrified of Esau because he knew and felt that Esau would still be upset with him and want to kill him. Okay? So he comes to the Jabbok River, and crossing it means crossing into Esau's territory. He sends his servants to Esau to find out if Esau was still kind of upset with him. Yeah. And they came back with a message. "We went to your brother Esau, and now he's coming to meet you with 400 men with him." Oh, my goodness. This caused Jacob great fear and distress. Oh, yeah, I would think so. If you're going to go and shake someone's hand, you don't bring 400 men along with you. So it was obvious Esau was a little unhappy. And it was obvious Esau meant business. So before crossing the river, Jacob decides that he would try to appease his brother, that he would try to pacify him, that he would try to win him over by sending him gifts. What he was trying to do is trying to do it in his own self. Uh-oh. Do so many of us today try to do things in your own way? You know you got problems. You know you got trouble. You know something's wrong. You know the devil's out to kill you. So you try to appease the devil. I guarantee you, you will not be able to appease the devil. He'll just want more and more and more. So, in this, he sent his servants ahead of him with gifts for Esau. 220 goats, 220 sheep, 30 camels, 40 cows, 10 bulls, and 30 donkeys. That's a pretty good sizable sum. But his plan doesn't work. Esau is still on the road, still coming to see him, and I don't think he's too happy. And that brings me to the very first thing I want to say about radical prayer. Radical prayer challenges the status quo. Do you get that? Things things weren't looking too good for Jacob. The situation looked hopeless. His angry brother was coming toward him with 400 men, looking like this could be the end of Jacob. But radical or desperate prayer refuses to accept the status quo. It refuses to believe that things have to be the way they appear. How many of you ever had that happen to you? You know, just go by the status quo. I was in the military. I was stationed in Puerto Rico, and I had my orders to go to North Carolina. And I was TDY in California, McClellan Air Force Base. I went to the chaplain there to request the opportunity to come to McClellan Air Force Base instead of North Carolina. And here was the answer from my chaplain. I think it could possibly be the will of God for you to go where they go. You don't want to upset the status quo. You want to do what they tell you to do. Now, I could have abided by that, and I could have done that. But I said, not to him, he was a captain. I said to myself, this isn't right. I went to the pastor that we were working with at the church at that point in time, and the pastor of that church and myself and my family and the whole church prayed, God, open this door. Change the orders. I don't want to go by this status quo. The outcome took place. We had already had my orders to go. It wasn't just they were getting ready to Mocha. I had my orders to go to North Carolina. They had to go to Randolph Air Force Base, and they contacted the commanding officer there. They changed my orders. Total miracle. Because why? I believed in radical prayer. I believed that God had something for us there at McClellan, and he did. And it was God's will to do that. So you understand, radical prayer goes against the status quo. Well, here we have Jacob. He heard it. He could have turned around and ran. He could have done a lot of things. But here's the prayer that he made. And it's found in Genesis 32, 9 through 12. Then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. Well, Lord, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I have crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with my children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered by the multitude. What a prayer! He went against the status quo because he knew that God said for him to do something. When you know God is telling you to do something, then go against whatever the status quo is telling you and do what God is telling you to do. Because there is a blessing that will take place by you doing what God tells you to do. Thank you for those amens. Woo! When he was wrestling with God, what do you think he meant when he said, I will not let you go until you bless me? Now, I don't believe he was talking about prosperity. I don't believe he wasn't talking about God giving him more wealth. My goodness, you know, anyone who can give someone a gift of 220 goats, 220 sheep, 30 camels, 40 cows, 10 bulls, and 30 donkeys had enough money, had enough wealth at that day. But here's the answer that Jacob received. And he said, let me go for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob, which is what? Surplanter. Conniver. I mean, we can go through the names that wonderful name meant. He had to live his life with those underlying words. So he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with man and have prevailed. That's the answer that Jacob was looking for. And his name was changed now to Israel. In Luke 4, 17 through 19, Jesus is standing in the synagogue and proclaiming, this is the year of the Lord's favor, and it has been fulfilled now. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was telling that synagogue, and I think he's telling you and I today, it's fulfilled. I am the prophecy. I am the God. I am the promise to this world. God promised us a Savior. Jesus fulfilled that promise. And that's what he was telling in Luke 17. Luke 4, 17 and 19. See, you got to understand, God's promise was to the world was Jesus. Through radical or desperate prayer, we stand against the status quo. And we hold God to his word and to his promise. In Acts 16, there's a story of Paul and Silas in the jail. They had been beaten. They had been thrown in jail. They had been defeated. I was waiting for somebody to say something. Were they defeated? Come on. Tell us, Pastor. Pastor, they have been defeated. Come on. They were beaten. They were cast in jail. They were chained in jail. But they were not defeated in God. Hallelujah. Say that with me. They were not defeated in God. They didn't sit around in chains and say, well, it's it. We're done for. It's time to give up. They didn't say that. They didn't moan or groan. They didn't just accept the status quo. The Bible says they prayed. Hallelujah. They prayed radical prayers right there in the dark, damp, smelly prison, wrapped in chains. They prayed, and their prayers challenged the status quo. Do you understand? That's what God is looking for us to challenge the status quo. There are so many churches today that are going by just the status quo. Yes, they might be growing, but their numbers mean nothing. Woo! I hope you're getting this. Not only did radical prayer challenge the status quo, but it changed the status quo. Jacob wasn't prepared to accept the status quo. Whatever will be. Whatever will be. Please, don't ever. Ever accept that for your life. Because God has more for you. He has so much more installed and ready in your life if you will not accept the status quo, but challenge it. Challenge it. He said things can be different. Things will be different. And that night, the most famous and perhaps the most bizarre wrestling match in all of history took place. That night, Jacob wrestled with God. He took God to the task and held him to his promise. He held him to his word. I will not let you go until you do what you promised. I will not let you go until you keep your word. I will not let you go until you bless me. See, that's what we've got to be with God. And sometimes God, that's exactly what God wants from you. But it's God's will. Whatever comes will come. It's God's will that I go through what I'm... Now, I'm not saying that. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. But you better know that it is. You better have that radical prayer life in place when you do go through that. Because if it isn't God and it's the old serpent, slew foot Satan, then you better know how to have radical prayers to put Satan back in his place and be able to get out of the situation you're in. I understand Jacob at any time could want the status quo. It's just meant to be. I'll go to my brother and let him, here I am, slay me, brother. You know? But he knew this wasn't meant to be. God told me to come here. God told me to go to my brother, go back home. God told me that he'd work well with me. So he held God to his promise. He held God to what God said. And when God saved you, he didn't save you to go through some of the things that you're going through. Should I say that one again? He didn't save you to go through some of the things that you are going through today. He saved you to go above those things. He saved you to challenge the status quo. Hallelujah. Woo, I hope you guys are getting this. Now let me give you something that was taking place while he was praying. While Jacob was praying, a change was happening in his brother Esau out there. He went from being angry, vengeful, spiteful, hate-filled person to a loving, caring, forgiving brother. Radical prayer doesn't only challenge the status quo, it changes the status quo. Okay? So radical prayer doesn't just challenge it, but it changes. Okay? My last thing that I want to tell you, be careful what you pray for, because you just might get it, and it might just cost you something. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, I'm telling you that to do that radical prayer, because there's so many people, there are so many people in our society, our world, in our churches, sitting in our churches today, that don't. They don't want to do that. They don't want to challenge it. They want to be a part of it. They don't want to go against it. They don't want to change the status quo, because I think they really don't want to see what would happen. Fear. You got to understand. Many times, that's what happens. But let me give you, here's what took place. I do believe Jacob didn't have that type of fear. When it comes to radical prayer, you need to be careful what you pray for, because you just might get it, and it might cost. And let there be light. See? Jacob wrestled with God. He challenged the status quo, and through his prayer, he changed the status quo. But it came at a cost. Verse 25 says, when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Why couldn't God overpower Jacob? Because Jacob was holding him to his word. Jacob was holding him to his promise, and that's why. You know, God has to be faithful to his promise. God has to be faithful to his word. Hallelujah. Jacob spent the rest of his life limping wherever he went because of the radical prayer he prayed that night. His prayer was answered and the status quo was changed, but it came at a personal cost. So I say, be careful what you pray for. You might get it, but it usually will cost. If you're praying for God to start moving among us by the power of the Holy Spirit, don't be surprised if and when he does. And I can guarantee you, he won't turn up the way you want him to turn up. But he will challenge your comfort zone. He will challenge your attitude. He won't just sit in the back row and be quiet. He'll make a fuss of things. He'll make a commotion. He'll make a noise. He'll make his presence known. Hallelujah. And he'll say, well, now I'm here. What do you want? This is what I believe God wants from us. And that's certainly what took place on the day of Pentecost. They had radical prayers going up to heaven. They had radical prayers going to heaven. And God came down and supplied. Hallelujah. Do you believe in prayer? Do you really believe in prayer that changes things? Or is your prayer for just some kind of ritual that you go through? Some kind of religious act that you do because that's what you think you should do? Do you believe in the power of radical prayer? Thomas Watson said, "The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was a prayer that fetched the angel." Do you understand that? I do truly believe that if Peter would not have been praying, that angel wouldn't have came. And they would have sat in that jail and died. Hallelujah. Radical prayer challenges the status quo. Radical prayer not only challenges it, but it changes the status quo. But I do believe, be careful what you pray for, because you're going to get it. I don't think it's a might. I think you will get what you pray for, but I do believe it will cost. It'll cost you to be more in tune with God. It'll cost you to get more spiritual with God. That's what God is looking for with the church today. He's looking for people that are, you know, in closing, we all understand the Azusa Street Revival. How many have heard of that? Are any of the old-time revivals that took place, just not the Azusa, you got the Kansas City Revival, you got all these different revivals that took place at the first of the 20th century. We're in the 21st century now. I do believe we're out of that zone, and I'm sorry to say it that way. I don't believe we're going to have another revival of that caliber, but I do believe through radical prayer we can see the change. You can see it right here. It's got to start somewhere. Right? It's got to start somewhere. And I believe that if we will start praying, fasting, get signed up, please get signed up. Go to the website, sign yourself up. 2 or 3 days, whatever you want to do, get signed up for prayer and fasting. If we will commit to that, if we will commit to radical prayer, desperate prayer to see God do something in this city, a hell-bound city, a desperate city that needs to know God. There are so many people out there, so many people that claim Christianity out there that don't even know what Christianity really is. We need to get right with God, get into radical prayer, and God's the same yesterday, today, forever, right? He is. So he said he did it. He did it for the Old Testament. Can you believe the Old Testament? If he did it then, what's stopping? He did it in the day of Pentecost. He did it on Azusa Street. Come on, Sharon. He did it on Azusa Street. He did it in so many other revivals. Now, I'm not going to say that we're going to have this major revival again, but I am going to say we got to make a change. Our America will not be the America we know. And we will, I believe, see persecution like you've never seen before in the church of today. You've got to have that radical prayer. The radical prayer is going to see you through. The radical prayer will see you through. Bow your heads. If this message has meant something to you, and you say, "Pastor, please help me begin to pray the radical prayers that I need to pray," raise your hand right now. I see the hands all over you. God, you see those hands. I pray right now that you let them not rest until they don't just say, "Bless me, God," but they get radical and desperate before you to see answers, oh God. Answers in this church, answers in their family, answers in this community, answers, oh God, I pray. Lord, let it be challenging to their life, oh God, that they will challenge the people around them. Be with them, oh God. Be with them, oh God, in your mighty name. Sing that song, Sharon.
Father, let revival start in. your name, face Almighty God. Pray and pray to for you to heal our land.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Father, let revival start.
Revival.
In us.
God, we
start
can still
me.
Have revival, God. We can still have revival, God.
Then every heart will
let us get radical before you, Lord. Let our prayers become desperate before you, God. Hear our prayers, O God. Answer our prayers, O God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
We will see the nations.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Touching heaven, changing earth. Touching heaven.
Hallelujah, Lord. Lift your
hallelujah.
Hands right now. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, I praise you this glorious day. And I thank you, Lord, for the anointing that I have felt this day. And I do pray, Lord, that as we go forth out of this building today, that we will be challenged by the prayers we pray. Be challenged, O God, to not just be weak and faithless prayers, but help our prayers to become desperate before you. Help our prayers to become radical before you. Help us to be world changers for you, because that's what our world needs today so desperately, is Christians that will become world changers for you. Christians that will become desperate before you. Christians that will become radical in their prayers for you to see answers that need to be met. Lord, be with us this day, I pray. Be with us this week, I pray. And God, I do pray that as we put together our prayer and fasting's time, O God, that you honor this and that things will begin to take place and there'll be testimonies of the miracle-working power that you have done during this time. Be with us, I pray. Be glorified.